Welcome to Wellbeing and You with the counselling team at Western Sydney University. I'm Erin.
And I'm Paula. We're passionate about supporting students to make the most of the university experience.
With this podcast, we're going to introduce you to a few members of our team and tell you about many of the great services and resources here to help you at university. Let's get started. So today we are joined by Sun, the International Welfare Coordinator. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sun. We are really looking forward to having a chat. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Erin and Paula.
So let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about your role? What is it that you do as the International Welfare Coordinator?
So basically, I'm the go-to person for staff for any international related welfare matters and coordinate support on complex cases with other staff within wellbeing team. I do see students occasionally when the student cases are complex, but mainly I'm the go-to person for staff, but also I assess international student applications when it's because of personal or medical circumstances. So I work within the welfare service. Our welfare officers will meet with students to assist with their inquiries, and they will bring up complex cases to me for advice. Mm-hmm. I also provide advice and educational session to other staff within the university, mainly staff in wellbeing, because I'm part of student services, but also I'll do that with academics or staff in enrollments or any other areas that needs a bit more information about supporting international students.
Right, so a lot of your role, it sounds like, is supporting staff to support students.
Yes, exactly.
What would you think is the most important part for people to understand about your role?
I guess one of the things that I often not struggle to explain, but what I get asked a lot is that people think that I'm the only person supporting international students because of my title. So my title is International Student Welfare Coordinator. So when you search for staff on our website, it comes up and people look at international. So traditionally, universities have international office to provide support to students. And we do have our international office in our university too, but the roles and responsibilities are very different. So they focus on recruitment and partnership for international students, but all the support is centralized. My role was created, and there was another role, student welfare officer for international students at the very beginning. But then the plan was to train everybody to be able to assist international students with their personal matters. So over time, staff in welfare were trained and equipped to be able to assist international students. So there was no need to say student welfare officer for international students. Mm. But my role exists because of those complex cases where staff needing to go and double check their knowledge and their understanding about international students. So the one thing that's really important for people to know is that I'm not it. I'm not the only person to support international students. I work with a wonderful staff who are knowledgeable in international compliance and visa conditions and all that things that we need to know about international students. So sometimes people feel overwhelmed for me because they think, oh my God, are you the only person for thousands of international students? But my answer is no. I work with a wonderful bunch of people who are supporting international students. So yeah, so that's probably the only thing that I want people to know.
I think that's so important, Sun, what you're talking about, in that, you know, for international students, it can be really, well, for any student, it can be really hard to understand the system and to know where the right place is to go to get your question answered. And if all staff are familiar with concerns for international students and the processes that involve them, so much easier if they can have their concern resolved at their first point of contact, rather than, you know, them coming into contact with a point in the system and them saying, oh, no, sorry, I don't know anything about international students. You're going to have to kind of go over here or talk to this person and try and find out. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think it's really important for staff and students to know who they can contact.
Thank you, Sun, for clarifying that. I mean, it's helped me just to hear you talk about your role. And, you know, what came to mind for me is that you're such a knowledgeable person as part of the team. And that knowledge, I've always kind of gone, it's our son, I don't know. Thank you. So, but also that it kind of spreads to the welfare team as well. It's good to know. And I'm forever asking welfare for a support as well.
I think in addition to educating and advising staff on international matters, I think my role is to reassure staff with what they know already, because they are really knowledgeable and they know so much about international students and how to support. And to be honest, the only thing that is different to support international students that is different from local students is probably visa implications. Other things that they need support from us is very similar to what local students might need from us. So it's not... When you look at international students, domestic students, and people think, oh, I don't, when people hear word international, a lot of people feel uncomfortable to provide any information, thinking that, oh my God, I don't want to say wrong things. I don't want to cause any issues. But if you take visa component out of the picture, the support students need from us is very similar. Mm-hmm. So part of my role is to reassure welfare officers that they are doing the right job. They're doing a good job and they're providing right information to students. And if they're a bit confused about any visa related information, then they can come and kind of check, you know, what they know already, just to make sure that they are providing correct information to students.
What's your favorite part of your job?
this may sound like cliche, but I really like meeting students. So I guess, you know, we all have part of our job that we enjoy and we don't enjoy. And I do have maybe 20% perhaps that I don't quite enjoy, which is very administrative work. Mm-hmm. But other part of my job, personally, I like meeting people. I like connecting with people. I like having small chats with people and getting to know. And meeting students for me is, especially international students, I really like international students. No offense to local students, but I feel, I rephrase this, local students as well, because we're living in such diverse communities. So a lot of local students also come from very different cultural background, right? So I really love meeting people from different cultural backgrounds. And as much as that the students we see within our role are the ones who need support, as in the ones who have issues or problems, I also create an opportunity to see students before they have an issue. So one of the things that I used to do before COVID, last couple of years, is to create a social outings with new international students to help them build friendships with other international students, also with me and other staff who were doing that social activity together. Mm. And I believe that coming from a migrant, because I myself is a migrant in Australia and I used to be an international student as well. And I still feel sometimes that I still feel a bit isolated at times, and I know how challenging it can be because I have my family overseas, and I even though I am working full-time here and I've got good friends network, I feel settled and I feel like Australia is my second home, I still feel like a stranger. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, and I don't think it's a bad thing, and I also think this is going to be just ongoing journey of my life for as long as I'm living in a different country.
Mm.
It took me a while to build really good friends network in Australia. So I really wanted to provide that opportunity to new international students who are feeling really shy, who doesn't know what to do to settle down and to feel home in this place. Students coming from, you know, all these different countries from overseas to study here by themselves is such a brave step to take. And when you actually build a good rapport with student, a really good relationship with student, they tell you a lot of things that you probably won't hear in your office when you're assisting students with their issues. I really love that because I feel like I'm just expanding my cultural experience without having to go overseas. And another thing that I really like about my role is making a difference in their experience and their life in Australia. I feel like I've really built good relationship and trust with students, and when then they open up and tell me all these issues and maybe other stories that could be related to the issues or not related to the issues at all, but just having that sort of personal connection and relationship in this role is, for me, is one thing that I would miss the most if I were to do something else.
Thank you for sharing that, Sun. I'm also hearing that it's a really vulnerable and courageous process that occurs between you and a student, and that you have a lot of compassion for the student. Thank you, Sun.
I think I do have compassion because perhaps I do have a bit more because I was an international student myself. And I am a migrant and I still feel like a stranger at times, especially when you are having a bit of challenging times in your life where you need your family, you need your friends' support, you need to feel comfortable. But here, being by myself and having to rely on myself and having to look for all that support myself, perhaps because of my experience, and I am feeling a bit more compassionate towards international students because I feel like I can empathize mm-hmm. with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's what kind of unites us as a human race, you know, that we're not immune to suffering, we're not immune to pain, and we all struggle with something. So I think it's really powerful that you can use that as a space to be able to give to others.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Sun, I'm wondering, you know, in all of your contact with staff and students over the course of this year, this has been a crazy year. What are some of the biggest challenges you've seen people dealing with this year? What have international students been facing?
The challenges that international students face have never changed for as long as I remember. When I was a student over the past 7-8 years, it's always the same. It's finance, it's accommodation, exploitation at workplace, work rights, visa, migration. So it hasn't changed. However, COVID certainly exacerbated the issues. Yeah. So all the things that they were already having, all the issues they already had, it's just become worse with COVID. So one of the top thing that we are seeing is obviously finance. Although the university has provided such amazing support to international students, so some students have been able to continue their studies with the support. So the support being, you know, having to reduce their study load and discounted price and all that stuff. So it's good that we have those support in place. So we helped students to continue with their studies, their journey and their plans in these situations. But unfortunately some students have to make a difficult decision in their life. So when they come, it's not an easy decision as to oh, I'm just going to go study in Australia for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. A lot of international students, when they decide to come to Australia to study for, say, 2 years to 4 years, or for PhD students for many, many years, it's such a big decision that they make as a family.
Yeah.
They don't make the decision easily by as an individual. It's a family decision, and the family does everything to support their child so they can complete their study and have a better future.
Yeah.
So knowing that, and some students had to either quit and decide to go home, or to have a break for one or two semesters because of the situation, it's very heartbreaking, because it's not only putting delays in their plans, obviously, but it's the loss of purpose. Mm-hmm. and having to reconfigurate in their mind what they want to do with their studies and with their future.
Yeah.
So the finance,
so hard that it's not just their own hopes and dreams, but the hopes and dreams of their families as well. I imagine students can sometimes feel like they're under a lot of pressure. That it's not just them they're having to think of in this picture.
Absolutely. And we have also students who are trying their best and unable to return home. And I know that some students' parents, I can only imagine how heartbreaking it can be as parents, it's not that they don't want to support, but because of the situation, they're not able to support their children.
Yeah.
And some people may have to ask their children to, can you take a break from your study, or can you just come home? Like, it's such a difficult decision to make.
I can only imagine,
yeah.
What's your best piece of advice for someone who's feeling a little bit blah at the moment, so a little bit low or a bit unsure of how they might be feeling?
I guess it depends on the level of blahs.
Yeah.
So I've gone through very many different levels of blahs for the last few months working from home and living by myself. So.
Yeah.
Sometimes I remember once it was really, really heavy, and I felt so lethargic and nothing could motivate me, and I wasn't sure what it was. So I thought, oh, maybe I can go for a walk. Maybe I'll do some exercise. Maybe I'll listen to music. So some days when I play music while I'm working, it works. Some days it doesn't work. So when I realized that it wasn't really working, whatever I was doing was working, and realized that what I needed was a bit of human connection. Because one, I don't have a family. I miss my family, especially, you know, not being able to go whenever I want to. So I think I was feeling a bit of homesick at that time. So I really needed that personal support, personal connection. So I spoke to my friends. We organized catching up for lunch, but working together in one place. So having another person working in one house, listening to someone else talking, background noise, it felt like, for me, I felt like, oh, this feels normal. This feels comfortable. So that's what I miss the most. Like, I guess, first of all, I think we need to know why we are feeling blah, and that can be very helpful. Sometimes we know why we are feeling blah at that time. We may know in hindsight, but knowing why we are feeling blah can be really helpful to know what we need to do. So when you're not sure about what, why, and whatever, just talk to your friends or somebody about your feelings. Then by talking out loud about your feelings, you may be able to, you know the reasons. When the blah is not very severe, it's just one of those days. My advice to myself that works for me, but maybe it can work for other people, is move your body. Do something active, you know, go and walk in the park, cook, sing along your favorite song, or plant, gardening, whatever it is that move your body. So do physical activity is really helpful. That gives us gives our mind a break, and so that we can be more productive later on. The less you are in your head, the better it is. And I think for me, I'm a big believer, or I'm a big believer. I love mindfulness activities. I can't do meditation, but for me, mindfulness activity is anything that can bring your attention to the present moment. So if you like cooking, cook from scratch. If you like exercising, do your exercise and sweat it out. I think physical activity, especially when it's not a serious blah, it's something that we need and something that's really helpful. And I realized from working from home, I'm sitting down a lot of times because of the meetings and work. It's so easy to just sit in one spot and feel so drained.
I agree.
So maybe setting a timer to get up and stretch and do something in between your work hours, work days, or study time, it can be very helpful. It can make a huge difference in your day and the way you feel.
Thank you so much for your time today, Sun. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I think there are quite a few bits and pieces that I'm going to take away from this. And I'm glad that we're recording it so that I can go back and listen to it again. So
yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today.